This morning, I know I said this morning. I already said good morning 5 minutes ago. This morning, there are two images I want you to focus on and I want us to discuss. The first image, if we can have that up, I'll entitle it The Mountain. The Mountain. The second image, we'll say The Mountaintop. So we have the mountain, and we have the mountaintop. We have a mountain experience, and we have a mountaintop experience. Is your life a mountain experience, or is your life a mountaintop experience? Are the mountains of anxiety and worry moving to the mountaintops of peace? Are the mountains of impurity and lust moving to the mountaintops of purity? Are the mountains of selfishness and self-centeredness moving to the mountaintops of love? Are the mountains of criticalness moving to the mountaintops of encouragement in your life? Are the mountains of agitation and frustration moving to the mountaintops of patience? Are the mountains of addictions and harmful habits moving to the mountaintops of self-control? Are the mountains of doubt moving to the mountaintops of faith? This morning, if your mountains are not moving toward the mountaintops, I want you to consider prayer and fasting as a solution. I want you to consider very deeply prayer and fasting as the answers. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you are a big God, that you are a powerful God, that you're omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. Father, thank you for our weaknesses that take us to your strengths. Father, we need you now as we begin this 2019 year. There's so many things in our hearts and in our souls that we desire to be. And Father, we cannot without your power. We cannot without your word. We cannot without the body of Christ in our lives. Father, help us this morning to move the mountains to the mountaintops. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In God's word, there's a mountaintop experience that I want to share with you. It's an experience that for three of Jesus' disciples, it was an amazing experience. Those three, Peter, James, and John, Jesus took them up to Mount Hermon. It's 9,232 feet high, this mountain. It's the highest in the area, and it's located near Philippi. There, Jesus strips off his humanity and reveals to these three men his deity. Peter, as he always did, spoke up. And Peter says, "Lord, it is good for us to be here." And Peter wanted to build a place for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah to live. And then to top it off, they see a bright light and hear a voice that said, "This is my beloved son. I take delight in him. Listen to him." And if you've never heard that kind of voice, You don't understand that type of terror. They were afraid, but at the same time, they were worshiping. They fell down, face down, and worshiped, and that was a mountaintop experience for those three men. In Matthew 17, in verse 1, it says, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. He was transformed in front of them, and his face shone like the sun. Even his clothes became as white as light. Suddenly, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you want, I will make 3 tabernacles here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved son. I take delight in him. Listen to him. When the disciples heard it, they fell face down and were terrified. This is a mountaintop experience. And many times when we have mountaintop experiences, what comes next? Another mountain. Another mountain. That's just life. You have a mountaintop experience, and then you go, man, I want this to remain. And then God informs you that this is life. We are on earth and not in heaven yet, and there's another mountain coming. When they descended from this mountaintop experience, they discovered another mountain. It's one we read about last week. We'll read it again, beginning in verse 14. When they reached the crowd, a man approached and knelt down before him. Lord, he said, have mercy on my son, because he has seizures and suffers severely. He often falls into the fire and often into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him. Jesus replied, you unbelieving and rebellious generation, how long will I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring him here to me. Then Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him. And from that moment, the boy was healed. Then his disciples approached Jesus privately and said, why couldn't we drive it out? Because of your little faith, he told them. For I assure you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will tell this mountain. You'll talk to it. He will tell this mountain, move from here and there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. What does Jesus mean when he talks to them about moving those mountains, telling those mountains? What is a mountain? Symbolically, Jesus is speaking of a barrier, an issue that is greater than you, a difficulty that you can't climb over, a situation in which you are stuck. Have you ever felt this in your life? Have you ever felt that you've had a barrier that's bigger, stronger, smarter, and more than you can handle? If you say no, you're lying. We've all had them, right? The barrier, the mountain, or the wall could be a relationship mountain. It could be a character mountain. It even could be a sin mountain, one that we commit and omit, commission and omission. It could be a physical mountain, an emotional mountain, a family mountain. There are many mountains to go around, amen? It's challenging when we find that we just cannot No matter how hard we try, we can't move this mountain. It doesn't matter if you're an elder in the church, a deacon, a minister, if you've been a disciple for 45 years, we always will have mountains that need to be moved. You cannot escape them. You can't avoid them. You can't outrun them. You can't just hope and hold your breath and hope they'll disappear. They don't. They don't. The Apostle Paul had mountains in his life that needed to be moved. Paul says, "For I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my flesh. For the desire to do what is good is with me, but there is no ability to do it." Romans 7:18. Holman version. He says, "I can't. As smart as I am, as talented, as educated, I can't." So Paul, if Paul said this, then what about us? 2 Corinthians 10:3, he shares about strongholds and fortresses when he says, "Although we are walking in the flesh, we don't wage war in a fleshly way. Since the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds." He says, "Oh, you got the power, but it's not in you. It's not in you. There's hope. We cannot overcome our mountains without the help of God." Can you imagine how the father of this demon-possessed boy felt up until Jesus healed him? Been like that since birth. Years and years of struggle. And there's hope on the horizon, these disciples of the Lord Jesus, and he brought them to them, and they couldn't even drive them out. That was a mountain. That was a mountain. "I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him." Do you realize that sometimes even people that you think can help you simply don't have enough power to help? They may have the heart and the intentions, but they don't have the power. They can't move your mountain. They can't move your mountain. A minister cannot move your mountain. Sometimes a spouse cannot move your mountain. A counselor cannot move your mountain at times. Even parents and certainly friends can't move them. Many times our lives are focusing on the root and not the fruit of the mountains. And so we attack the fruit, but we miss the root of the mountains. Now we're busy, we're well-intentioned, but we get the fruit, we miss the root. "Lord, have mercy on my son because he has seizures and suffers severely. He often falls in the fire and often into the water." Those are fruits. I mean, falling into the fire, my child, demon, you know, I mean, he we're trying to help him to not die. That's a serious fruit. Obviously a difficult situation. But what was the root? Exactly. It's difficult to get to the root of our mountains, getting to the root of our anger, getting to the root of our impurity, getting to the root of our deceit, getting to the root of our selfishness and our fears. But if we don't get to the root of the mountain not only doesn't move, it moves you. And it moves with you. Your mountain moves you and it moves with you. What do I mean? When I was baptized in this church when I was 18, only a few years ago, 18 years old, spoiled, rotten, selfish, lustful, arrogant, and I needed a change in my life. There was mountains that needed to be moved in my life. And I experienced in this church with the Word of God and fellowship and the Holy Spirit and just an amazing amount of encouragement and direction, I experienced some mountain-moving times where I got baptized, changed my mindset, my whole worldview changed. Many mountains moved when I was 18 years old, and I'm so grateful for what God did. At 21, I moved to Boston to train to go into for the mission team to go to Miami. Many mountains were moved in those 11 months I was in Boston. Because guess what? When I moved, some of the mountains moved with me. And so God needed to change me and grow me and mature me. And Boston exposed some of those mountains that I could not see here in Tallahassee. And so many times when you change, God exposes mountains that you didn't know were there. At 22, I moved to Miami. When I was in Miami, I had some mountains move with me. I spent 18 years in South Florida, experienced many mountaintop moments where I'm like, man, thank you, God. You're shaping me, reshaping me, and my marriage, and my parenting, and my life, and my family. It's just amazing, the mountaintop experiences. Those experiences where you go, whoo, I couldn't do this on my own. Moved here when I was 49 years old. Had some mountains that needed to be moved. I've also had some mountaintop experiences here in the last 13 years. In life, I believe God allows mountains to rise up in our lives. He also provides us the power to move them. In our church family, we have members like all church families, for example, that will attend for a while, and they will move to different congregations. You know, that happens. For whatever reason. And I know that whenever we move, we take those mountains with us. Just like some of you are here, and this is not your church, you've not made it a church home, but you've come from other churches. And guess what? You have mountains also. You have mountains also. The question is, are we willing to, whatever it is, if it's a disagreement with someone, God's word tells us how we can move those mountains and have a mountaintop experience of unity. You go to Matthew 18. You work it out with that brother or sister. And if you work it out and you're unity and then you want to go worship somewhere else, that's fine. Right? I mean, amen. It's great. But the reasons why people leave, or the reason why people come, the reason why we leave and why we come and why we go, those are the roots of those mountains that we have to deal with. Are you with me, church? So if you are here with us, and you're checking it out, and man, we would love to know some of your mountaintop experiences. And we would also love to know some of your mountains. Now, in exchange, we'll tell you about our mountains. And we'll tell you about our mountaintops. But if we hide them, we'll never get to the unity that Jesus Christ died for. Unity comes from mountaintop experiences. I wonder what the 12 did after they couldn't drive out the demon. Did they blame somebody else? Or did they go, we couldn't drive it out, let's learn from the master, Lord, teach us. And Jesus says, well, you got to pray and fast. It's amazing why people leave. It's amazing what people come for. When I was 18 years old, I left a church that had a big choir, African American, soul, rocking, lively, and I went 3 times a year. But every time I went, my soul was filled. And I came to our church. And by the way, back then, we didn't have instrumental music. We had clapping. No, we didn't have a clapping. We had a cappella. We had a songbook. And this short white man stood up there. I'm going, this is different. Soldiers of Christ, arise. I'm like, I'm like, wow. Now that's different. Whoa, ho, you know. And I'm like, oh, I gotta get used to this. This is, woo, you know. But what I loved was everybody was singing. And there was a joy, and I heard voices I'd never heard before. And it's amazing how, I mean, I kind of liked it. It wasn't my style, but I liked it because it was vertical. And it was sincere. And it was true worship. Jesus was so frustrated with this mountain. Mountains tend to shrink our faith. They gnaw at it. What do you think he means when he says little faith? You of little faith. When the lie of Satan is more believable than the truth of God, that's a little faith. When your opinions supersede God's word and your opinions supersede the essentials, that's little faith. When mountains speak louder than God's promises, that's little faith. Faith sets no limits on what God can do. Ask Abraham, ask Daniel, Moses, Joseph. They did not have a plan B. They didn't have a plan B. Jesus was frustrated with that generation, not just the 12, but with that entire generation, because all they needed was a mustard seed of faith. It's small. But if you have faith in a big God, guess what happens to those seeds? It grows and becomes a wonderful plant that provides shade for others and rest for others. It's an amazing what a little faith can do. And I believe the little faith that they received after that day, they were able to heal many, many more after that time. What we learn from Matthew 17 is that when you have a mountain, you bring it to the Lord. You can talk about the mountain, but it doesn't move the mountain. You can complain about the mountain, it doesn't move the mountain. What you need to do, what I need to do, is whenever we have mountains, and we will have them, you bring that mountain to the Lord. How do we do this today? They were able to take them to Jesus. How do we do it? They were able to go, here you go, Jesus. Heal little Johnny, you know. What do we do now? We don't have Jesus here. Oh, yeah, we do. The answer is prayer and fasting. This is what we're putting before you as a church, not only for this year, but for the lifetime that we're here on this earth. The answer is prayer and fasting. Here are some fasting thoughts. Fasting thoughts. And this is coming from John Piper. If we don't feel a strong desire for the manifestations of the glory of God, it is not because we have drunk deeply and are satisfied. It's because we have nibbled so long at the table of the world. We're stuffed with small things, and there's no room for great. If we are full of what the world offers, then perhaps a fast might express or even increase our soul's appetite for God. Christian fasting, at its root, is the hunger of a homesickness for God. John Piper. So, before we get to the fasting tips, I don't want them to be distracted by that. Did you know that Jesus assumes that his followers will fast? Matthew 6:16, whenever you fast, Jesus said, don't be sad-faced like the hypocrites, for they make their faces unattractive so that their fasting is obvious to people. I assure you, they have gotten their reward already. Fasting is countercultural. We talked about that last Sunday. It's not only countercultural in our world, it's countercultural even in our churches. It's just like abstaining from sex until marriage. Countercultural. So is fasting. But it's in the scriptures, and we need some tips on it. So now we can go to the fasting tips. Thank you. Now, we talked about a little bit last week what fasting is. Here's some tips. Number one, start small. Start small. Don't be like Jesus and go, I'm going for 40 days. You won't be able to handle it, okay? Start small. That could be one meal. Alleviate one meal. That could be from sunrise to sunset, and you break that meal after that. Fasting is from, if you're going to fast from foods, fasting, you can drink juices or you can drink water. I personally like to drink water, stay away from the juices. That's just me. But it's where we fast from food and we drink water. Now, plan on what you will do instead of eating if you were to fast from food. For example, I'm going to pray during this time. I'm going to meditate during this time. I'm going to read the word and read the book of Isaiah, whatever. I'm going to do that during this time. I'm going to serve somebody during this time. I'm going to have a time of worship where I'm listening to music and I'm praising God during this time. Plan what you're going to do when you fast. Thirdly, consider how it will affect others. You know, I don't want us to, you know, well, I'm fasting today. I can't eat at the family supper. Be wise. Okay, consider how it's going to affect somebody else. Okay, when you fast, consider your times of fasting. Don't do it when you have, you know, something planned and that people are expecting you to be a part of it. And sometimes, you know, in our arrogance, we want to go, yes, I'm fasting today. Not me, no. Mm-mm, no. So consider how it will affect others. Fast from something other than food. Some of you may not be able to physically fast. It's not going to be best for your health. So fast from, or that it includes abstinence from anything which is legitimate and in and of itself for the sake of spiritual purpose. Martin Lloyd Jones said this. So consider fasting from television. Some of you, after you get off work, you turn on a TV, it doesn't even go off until the morning. Turn it off. Have a time of fasting. Don't watch TV. Others of us, we can remove ourselves from the computer. And during that time, pray and read and listen to music and worship God. Maybe disconnect from social media. Woo! That'd be tough for some of us. Turn off those cell phones. Time of silence. Be still and know that there's a God. Amen? Any other enjoyment that can hinder your focus from God, fast from it. Those are some tips on fasting, and we'll talk more about it. This is a series that we're going to continue to talk about, because I believe that in 2019, God's going to move some mountains. Question, are your mountains moving you, or are you moving your mountains? Go home, meditate on it. Think about it. Are your mountains moving you, or are you moving your mountains? This last image, we go back to the second image of the mountaintop experience. Can we go to that one? This is what my prayer is for all of us, that we would have God move our mountains, not us, but God, and from that we would have mountaintop experiences that we can lift our hands and praise God for what he's doing. We can be that mustard seed, that mustard plant that's providing shade for others, and say, listen, look and listen and see what God has done through me and in my life. Praise him. This is my prayer for the 1200. I pray that we will experience many mountaintop moving moments, praising God, proclaiming and sensing the presence of God, who desires to move mountains in our lives for his glory. Are you ready for the mountains to move? Are you ready? I know you're not. I wasn't a month ago either. I'm like, I don't want to fast. But let me tell you something. I fasted already this year. And my specific fast for a day, I fasted for a purity of heart. And I studied it out. And let me tell you something. God has revealed some things about my heart that I never would have, never have been revealed if I would have just studied it. Fasting and prayer will move your mountains. Let's pray. Yeah. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. And Father, we thank you that you desire to move our mountains. And Father, we want to have those mountaintop experiences in our lives, not for us, but Father, we want them so that, Father, you will be glorified and honored. As we follow you, as we are transformed by you because of your power, and as we join you in your mission, Father, I pray that all praise and honor and glory will go to you. You are the mountain mover. It's in Christ's name we pray.